Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thanks for checking out another episode of the show. Today's feature is returning guest, Gavin M. Gavin stops by to talk about his big old party happening Thursday night, Blueberry Hill, May 20th in the Duck Room with Grace Basement. You can come out and see a live show. Tickets available at the Blueberry Hill website. Check it all out. I think it's also on Ticketmaster. Limited capacity, so get them while you can before they're all gone. Come on out and support some live local music. And we also get into some of his new music, of course, as he's got a couple of new singles out there that we talk about. And we even get into walking the red carpet at the Grammys. All kinds of fun stuff on this episode. You're going to enjoy it. So I do want to remind you, of course, that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler, located here in St. Louis, Missouri, over in Maplewood off of Manchester. Stop by the shop or shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. You can shop over there and use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off all your favorite all-natural, locally sourced beard oils, beard balms, your junk powder, or one of my personal favorites, the Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly in unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available in the beard care market, hands down. World-renowned, but made right here in St. Louis. I've been using Roughneck Beard Batter myself for the last several weeks, and I just love it. It makes my beard feel real nice and smooth. It smells good, and it's just a great product. You can pick it up, again, at roughneckbeardcompany.com today. And don't forget that code RPP15. Also, big thanks to Heil Sound for their support and helping make the show sound great. Shop heilsound.com today and get yourself a new microphone. And if you'd like to reach out and help support the show, and a great way to do so would be buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast and visit the merch store there. We've got some logo shirts, some little Shaney shirts, some tank tops, and some trucker hats, snapbacks. So check it all out over there and throw a couple bucks in the help support this show. I really appreciate everybody that's already picked up one already, and thank you for all your continued support. It means the world to me. If you need me, of course, you can always find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the email at rockpaperpodcast@gmail, any of the socials, wherever you. I'd love to hear from you guys. So thank you for listening and all the continued support. And with that all out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode with my buddy, Gavin M.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, guys. This is Gavin M. I really appreciate Shane having me on Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Scissors, beat, paper. Paper covers rock. Rock, beat, scissors. Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock, paper, podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with my man, Gavin M. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, Shane, how are you? Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, this is it's been way too long already. I'm glad to be hanging out with you and catching up. You know, everything's has been a lot's changed since we've last spoke on this show, and a lot of crazy things happening in the world. But you've been man, I just actually was don't know. I just got, you just kind of, you don't really think about it, I guess, every day. But like, I was looking at it and then like I pulled up your Spotify and I was jamming some tunes and I was like, you've been putting out like a single a month, almost like the last almost 2 years or something. It seems like it's been, there's a lot of material. Yeah. A lot of material out there, man. Very, very prolific.
I'm just trying to write tunes and I'm an album guy, to be honest with you. I would prefer to put out the LP, you know, but times have changed. So,
But yeah, keeping your head down and keep writing and putting out great tunes. And we're going to talk about a couple of new ones, your latest two today. We got a big show coming up, but I wanted to kind of get into some of your biggest stuff you've been a part of. You got to go to the Grammys. You got to hang with Cass, a friend of mine. You know, I use the term loosely friend, but I'm a big fan. I met him down at Oyster Bar and stuff. John Bastille?
John Baptiste.
Baptiste, yeah, that's all right. Yeah, sorry.
John Baptiste, he's the band leader for The Late Show. And
yeah,
he won an Oscar on Sunday.
Yeah, that's incredible, man, for Soul, right?
Yeah, with Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. They produced the score together, all three of them.
Yeah, which is crazy that Trent Reznor is like in doing Disney movies now,
it's because he's an artist, because he's a man of, he's an individual. I'm not going to use the term man because I feel like that's an overused term in our society. But
yeah,
I'll say that he's an individual of many facets, as we all are. So,
yeah, I just think it's somebody, you know, the guy that wrote, I want to F you like an animal, is now writing Disney songs and stuff, you know, like.
I thought the same exact thought. This is why I'm laughing. but it is true. But you know, he's substantially older and he's also, you know, been living a long life. So,
it's cool, man. And like I said, he's an artist and he's never stops, you know, it's like, it's constantly evolving and whatever the new inspiration is and things. So, but I really enjoyed Soul. That was a cool movie. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, I liked Soul for a lot of reasons. I grew up not a part of any specific religious organization. I wasn't Catholic. I grew up in a semi-Christian household. You know, my dad was Catholic. My mom was non-denominational. My mom believed in reincarnation, and she believed in metaphysics and, you know, psychics and all that stuff. And watching Soul was great because it kind of meshed them all and they put it into this pop culture reference that wasn't offensive. There's a million words I could say about that movie, but it was well-deserved from John. John's one of the kindest people I've ever met, especially celebrities. I've met quite a few celebrities in my tenure as an artist, and he's kind. He's a great leader. He's incredibly talented. But I think what's most important about John and best about John is his ability to be a human being and affect you in a way that's not intimidating. And he knows the human struggle. He's the dilemma of existential despair and things like that. So John's a great guy. I think it was well deserved.
Yeah. So that was a part of like a competition that you were part of, right? How did that even like come to be that you were involved in it?
So I want to start from the beginning of the story.
Yeah.
2018, I think, maybe 2019, 2018. I did a Tiny Desk.
Right.
I can't remember what year, but I did a Tiny Desk and my friend Jorge, who's in Boxcar. Jorge wanted to film me doing one of my songs, and Joe Jackson from Jackson Pianos said, yeah, you can use my showroom and use one of my pianos. And I was like stoked. And I had two songs. I had Manchester Rain and I had a song called Old and Young Soul Tonight. And I played both songs for Jorge, and Jorge said, play Old and Young Soul Tonight. And a lot of my friends and my parents and everybody was like, Old and Young Soul Tonight's a hit. And I was like, I wrote that song in 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be a filler on my record. Like, it wasn't anything I thought was special. And my mom was like, no, it's really special. Played it for Jorge. And he's like, no, it's really special. We should do this one. So we recorded that song. We did a take of Manchester Rain too. I finally decided on Old and Young Soul Tonight. The video on Facebook got like, I think 4,000 or 6,000 plays. I don't know. And then fast forward almost two years later, I was on Facebook one night and Lincoln had posted some kind of contest and said, you know, mentored by John Batiste, enter your song, right? So entered my song, Old and Young Soul Tonight, my Tiny Desk performance. And then I got an email one day, like 3 weeks before I was accepted, saying, you're in the final selection. Please confirm this email within the next 24 hours or you'll be excluded. So I confirmed. A week later, they said, you are in the final four. We'll get back to you. Didn't hear an email for 3 or 4 days. And I texted them or emailed them back. They responded to me again and was like, hey, hold on a second. We told you too early. Give us a few days. Okay. So a few days pass. They email me back and say, accept this within 24 hours or be excluded. And I was like, okay, guys. Like, I got it. Okay. Yeah. So I'll do that. So I did it. I get a call a few weeks later. And I'm on the phone with some folks from the ad agency saying, hey, you're one of four in the whole nation that's been accepted out of 1,600 applicants. We've listened to all the songs. John Batiste selected you and three other people's songs as finalists for this contest. They said, also, we're going to introduce you to someone named Marcus Haney. Marcus Haney is a filmmaker from LA, and he's Mumford & Sons' official photographer, and he's produced Coldplay videos, Mumford & Sons videos, and a feature-length film and all this other stuff. And he got on the phone. Marcus was like, what's up? Hi, I'm Marcus. And then at the end of the call, they said, and we have one other thing we wanted to tell you. Even if you don't win, you're going to the Grammys in 2020. Yeah, 2020 Grammys. You're going to the Grammys. And I had never been to Los Angeles in my life. Right. So, yeah. And I got to see Cheap Trick at the after party. And I love Cheap Trick. And I got to see John Prine perform at the Grammys before he passed away. I got to see Aerosmith perform. I've always wanted to see Aerosmith. And I met Andrew Bird when I was going to the bathroom. I was like going to the bathroom to go pee. And Andrew Bird, I go, dude, you're Andrew Bird. And he goes, I am. And I go, I would ask for a picture, but we're in the men's room. And he's like, probably not a good idea. And I also met another one of my favorite songwriters, Gregory Alan Isakov. And I was very, very, very close to Smokey Robinson and Billie Eilish. And we walked the red carpet. Yeah, it was a life-changing experience. And I met Kaz. Kaz and I are friends now. He's a really great guy. Anna Field and Edom, Anna, Kaz, and Gavin. There were four of us. And yeah, I'm very grateful. And yeah.
Yeah, man. I was following that journey a little bit with you through the social media and stuff as you were getting to, you know, walk the red carpet at the Grammys and do all that fun stuff. And I'm just like, man, this is, I was just incredibly proud of you, man. I was just thinking about, you know, where our journey started together doing this show and, you know, and just hanging out in your apartment and recording, you know, stuff. And then to see you go on to get to do these things like that, getting to hang with these people and stuff. It was really cool, man. So I'm happy that that you had that opportunity.
Yeah, it was life changing, and there's a lot of things that go into it. And right. There's a lot. Los Angeles is funny.
Sure.
It's not St. Louis. It's not any other place I've been in the world. It's kind of a trip, if you will. Everybody's needing something or trying to get something. So it's kind of a place that is interesting, but Southern California is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're heading like October. I think we're heading to like San Diego. It'll be my first time going west that way. So I'm excited to make it out to California for the first time.
Where in California are you going, Shane?
San Diego.
Well, I didn't go to San Diego, so you're going to be there before I've ever been there.
Yeah. But that's my first time ever going anywhere west that way. Like, I've been, you know, most of it's like Chicago and Florida, like the kind, you know, north and south. I haven't really gone too far east or west. Awesome. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I really want to go to Utah. You guys should make some pit stops in the middle, but
Well, I think we're flying, so I don't know, be a little different. But yeah, there's all sorts of different stuff I'd like to get around. I mean, that's one of my biggest things is I'd love to get out and travel more and getting to see a little bit more of the world. I think one of the last things we were talking about on the show in 18, I think you were gearing up for to go through Europe and stuff, right?
Yeah, that was the last time we talked. Wow,
yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, man.
Wow, a lot's changed.
Yep.
Music's changed quite a bit.
Yeah. But that, I was jealous of that too. I was like, I'd love to get out there and see.
That's funny. That's funny to hear people say that.
I don't know. I mean, like, I just find it super cool that, you know, your guitar and your music has taken you around the world. You know, you're getting to do stuff like that. So I think it's pretty neat, man.
Yeah, I try, Shane. You know, I try to, I just kind of follow where my heart tells me to go. It kind of gets me in trouble sometimes, I think, but.
Yeah. Isn't that, I think Drew Schaefer said that, didn't he?
I don't know.
Follow where my heart tells me.
I
think that's an LS lyric.
St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah.
My buddy Drew. I love him.
But now I bet it's the same, two sides of all of it, you know, right? There's, I think as much as, I look up and I see these rock star people, you know, living their life, doing all these things. But at the same time, I hear a lot of them like wish they could just be home having, you know, like they enjoy the life for certain parts, but they also miss their families and, you know, different things like that. They're all busy on the road. They don't get the chance to, you know, see their kids as much as they like or different things like that. And so, you know, there's pros and cons to both. I think we both kind of like look at each other's lives and think how great they must be, you know, kind of thing. So
I think the journey that I want isn't a famous rock star. I don't want that. I think my end game is a family. My end game is
is
travel when I want. My end game is my songs being sang by other artists or synced on Grey's Anatomy or synced on, you know, Hulu shows or stuff like that. You know, like that's my long-term goal. I want to have my little nest. I want to have my people in my life. I want to experience life as a human being and not as a puppet doll, you know?
Right.
So yeah. I think that's like my long-term. I want to have a home where I want it or multiple homes where I want them. And I don't want the anxiety and worry of having to be someone that I'm not to millions of people.
Right. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I think, I would also like those things.
You know, simple.
Yep.
Just want to make a living, man. Just want to pay mortgage, pay a car payment, raise my kids. When I have them, I don't have any yet.
Right.
Yeah. So that's like the long-term goal.
Yeah, definitely, man. You said, something about kind of made me think of your song My Person, which is one of your latest singles that we were going to talk about. And this song is now readily available wherever you get your digital music at today. You're kind of in that same sentiment when you were talking about, you know, your family and stuff. Like, I feel like that's sort of the kind of the message behind My Person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I have a girl from my girlfriend, Jen. I've been dating her since July. late July, and we went on a camping trip in August, and it was early on, but I knew at that point, for Gavin at least, that she was my person. Can't speak for her, and I don't speak for her. She's a very strong, independent human being, and a very good one at that. But I can tell you for myself that I realized that she was my person, and we were laying under the stars. I know this sounds dramatic, but it is the truth. We were laying under the stars, and we were in Ava, Missouri, which is right north of Arkansas. And we were laying, and it was pitch black, and all you could see were these just billions of stars. And I knew we were sharing a bottle of wine on a sleeping bag, maybe not a sleeping bag, maybe a sleeping bag. Can't remember that. And I knew that was my person, you know? And I didn't, you know, and I wrote that song. And you know what? I kind of took a few years off writing love songs. I wrote a lot about traveling. I didn't write about falling in love or anything. And then love kind of walked in the door. When love walks in, as Sammy Hagar said, but yeah, I just kind of walked in the door, and now she's in my life, and I'm very grateful. So I wrote that song, and, you know, when you feel something so deeply or intensely as love, real love, that when you've learned from the past and you've kind of grown within yourself, you're right. That's what an artist's job's to do. How do you vocalize what other people feel? You might feel this way about your wife, you know, because she's your person. You might feel that whatever I'm singing about. And I know when I walk into a bar, a dentist office, when I'm leaving a plane in the airport, if I hear a song that I relate in my car, if I hear a song that I relate to immediately, I know what that person's talking about. So with my person, that's what I hope people feel when they hear it. Like, oh yeah, I know what he's talking about. I know that because I feel that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. I that's my favorite thing about songwriters in particular, like that they are able to channel that, you know, either their true life experiences and channel it into a song and make you, realize that you've been through that same situation or something similar, or they make up the story that, and it's like, either way, like I still connect to this narrative that they're singing about, and like, that it's, you know, something like my life too. So especially like, you know, like I've also been happening for me for this, with podcasting, like I've been listening to this, Ryan Sickler, does a show called The Honeydew. And his whole thing is like highlighting the low lights, and he kind of goes through and he talks to a lot of different comedians talking about some of like the darkest and hardest parts of their lives. And he lost his mom and pretty young, I believe, or his dad. And then this girl, Taylor Tomlinson, came on and talked about her losing her mom. And so both of them were like sharing stories about like dealing with losing parents young and cancer and stuff. And like, and not that like, obviously I realize a lot of people are affected by it, but like, as I was like kind of going through the same thing with losing my mom, like you do have those kind of moments where you kind of feel like you're alone, you know, even though a lot of people have been affected by it, but in your own personal situation, you feel like I'm going through this alone. And so when you hear stories like that, and the same thing, when you're in heartbreak or falling in love and all these things, you hear these songs and stories come through and you're like, you immediately connect to that person or that story. And you're like, all right, they get it. You know, they've been here too. And so
finally the words that you've heard your whole life, these phrases, heartbreak, grief, love, like they finally make sense because you're in it. And somehow this song or podcast or a piece of literature,
right,
is a cup. It's a cup to hold your emotions. And you're like, oh, other people know, you know, what that is, you know? So,
yeah. And so it's a powerful thing though. I mean, like, you know, especially cause like, it's not as easy sometimes to like just open up to friends or family or, you know, certain things about like certain situations. So when you have such a particular kind of thing where, and then that you find that song that this or the song finds you sometimes. You hear it and all of a sudden you're like, man, I totally get it now. So it's a powerful thing. And that's why I love music and I love songwriters, and it's fun, man. But you can come out to, Blueberry Hill in St. Louis, Missouri, down in the Duck Room, and you can hear Gavin and the band performing, my person, I'm sure. Right.
Yep.
We have, May 20th. It's a, limited capacity, social distanced, you know, are we all doing all the protocols that we are, we'll have to do, but, May 20th, 85 tickets. Is that correct?
Yeah. We've already sold a third of those. So,
right.
Yeah, 85 capacity though.
Indoors. And, yeah. It'll be, man, that's going to be cool. Like just getting back, especially in that room. It's such an iconic room.
Yeah, it really is.
Getting back on a stage and playing again. And have you been doing it? Like trying to do anything else? Like, the Zoom concerts or anything like that during the,
I did a St. Louis house show, St. Louis Public Radio house show. And I did Chris Denman's, Drinks with the Band.
Oh yeah.
So I did those two, but other than that, I've done some things here and there, but not really.
Yeah. It'd be nice to have a real crowd in front of you to get the response and
yeah.
And the energy and the feedback from everybody.
Yeah, man.
So you could put together a band for the night, right? What our friend, Clinton.
Well, yeah. So it's more so, I mean, it's more than just the night.
Right.
I've been playing with Clinton Twombly on drums. I've been playing with Ryan Torpia, who's been playing guitar, singing, and synth and piano. Danny Nugent on guitar, and Adam St. Clair on bass. So they've been my band for a while.
Right.
And we're playing at the Duck Room on the 20th that weekend. And then the 21st, we're playing in Plano, Illinois at a thing called Hong Kong Pizza Party. And then on the 22nd, a place called, the Law Office in Yorkville, Illinois. So we're doing a little 3-day run, but, that's my band. They're all really talented, really kind, guys. And I'm really grateful that they want to play with me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan was just on the show talking about some of his original stuff, and very talented man, artist. And I've been, really having a lot of fun with, talking to him and becoming friends and over the last several years. And of course, all those guys, they're all incredible players. So it's going to be a fun night for sure.
Yeah, Ryan's great, man. He's really talented. He's a good songwriter, good singer, good piano, great piano player. He also plays trumpet. Ryan's great. I'm really grateful he wants to be a part of my band.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, so that, grab tickets, here again here in St. Louis, couple tickets left for that show, Blueberry Hill. And also, joining that evening, Thursday, May 20th, will be, Kevin Buckley with Grace Basement, right?
Yeah, Kevin's incredibly talented. Kevin, this is his like pop rock band, if you will, or indie band or whatever. But I know Kevin through the Irish music scene, and Kevin's really talented as an Irish fiddler and guitar player. But he's also just talented in general with recording and everything. And you should come out and hear Kevin play with his rock band, you know, his pop band or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
but I was really happy that he wanted to be a part of it. Very grateful for Kevin.
Yeah. But yeah, man, again, like I said, I've done a couple of things. Last weekend I went to the Fox to see Funky Butt Brass Band.
How'd that go?
It went really well. Like, they're definitely, you know, sticking to the rules, you know, up one way, down one way on the aisles kind of thing. Everybody's got to go stick, you know, in certain directions and keeping, everybody spaced out and stuff like that. But It was just really a nice thing to be back inside the Fox, and it's just a beautiful room. And
it really is a beautiful room. I've never played there. I've played at a lot of venues in St. Louis, but not the Fox.
Yeah. I think those guys, some of the guys that played, like, you know, as some other things, but I think that was Funky Butt Brass Band's first time as the brass band, together there. And, but yeah, it was nice. And then I got to see John Henry on the next night over at the pageant. So I'm kind of getting a little.
John's, you know, really talented too.
Yeah. Yeah. And Sleeping Rubies.
Yeah. That Emily played too. Yeah. I saw. Yeah. Yeah. Really talented too.
But it's just, it felt good, man. Like having, back-to-back shows on a Friday, Saturday night reminded me of the old days, you know, when I used to do that stuff. So, it was a bummer that I wouldn't be able to do, and the world wasn't able to do that for so long. But it feels good that there's kind of getting back to a little bit of normalcy again. Things are coming back around now.
Yeah, man.
And festivals are being announced and different things for the summer, and tours are coming back around. So hopefully we're back on the right track and things will keep going up. And so
I just got my second vaccination 2 days ago and I'm like still recovering, but like, I'm glad I'm in that place in my life now where it's like,
yeah, I got mine and that kind of wiped me out for the weekend. I just kind of,
oh man, I was
tired, but
it wiped me out for sure. Yeah. I've turned into a little baby child. I'm sure I bugged my girlfriend. I'm sure she was like, he's acting like a baby. You know, it definitely wiped me out.
Yeah. But I'm, you know, glad that people are getting it done.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll go. Like I said, everything's coming around, man. Hopefully we can get have a good time this summer and then have some fun out there with our friends.
For sure.
Playing all kinds of music. But let's talk about a song, another one. This is your most recent single currently, called "The Magic."
Yeah,
and this is kind of I was listening to the lyrics, and I'm guessing it's probably based mostly off a true story. I'm betting, considering your last story,
they came from the same place.
Yeah,
yeah, they're both. Yeah. Yeah, the magic. So the first song I talked about, they're both have 80s things going on.
Right.
So I kind of went from doing like folk guitar playing, songwriting to like rock music, like Britpop music last year. And now I'm kind of going into this place of like 80s inspired Britpop, I guess you could say. So, okay. So the first song you mentioned, My Person, had like a pretty deep 80s synth, like a Springsteen related synth on there. And then this new song has like Springsteen related guitar parts, which was definitely not meant to be the case, but it was the case. And it's got like Paul McCartney piano, and it's just about being in love again, you know, right. Love magic, you know, everybody, like, you know, science, medical, like surgeries are science. The way your car works, the way a mechanic works on it is science. You know, you taking heart pressure medication is science. But one thing, in my opinion, that might be science, probably is, but doesn't feel like science, is falling in love. And I call that magic. You know, it's just magic. You can't explain it. It's just occurring, and it makes you feel alive. And that's what that song's about. Just, it's about everything but all we know. It's about the unknown. It's about the warmth you feel in your heart.
So yeah,
that's the magic.
Breathless, and our soul drenched to
I had Brian Venable from Lucero on a while back, and they were talking about the new Lucero record, and he was saying, as you were kind of talking about that, he said something about Ben has been listening to a lot of 80s solo projects or Eagles solo projects, 80s Eagles solo projects, and that he was kind of heavily inspired by that on this new record. And I was like, and then I want to kind of like took that into mind. I listened to the record again. I can definitely kind of hear some of that 80s Eagles solo projects coming through there and stuff. And
I love the Eagles, man.
Yeah. But it just kind of made me laugh. Like,
Donald, I'm definitely Eagles, pro Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just made me laugh the way he said that, though. And then of course, like I said, after I heard that, I was like, yeah, okay. I hear it all now. Like, there's definitely a synth stuff going on in there. But it was a great record, though, from them. I don't know if you get into much Lucero, but also kind of the reason I thought of that, too, is because, like, as you're saying, like, you kind of, your music's been constantly evolving. And I think that's a great example too with those guys, is every record they do, they put something different out.
That it has. It's definitely been constantly evolving. That's for sure.
Right. So what, is that a goal, or do you think it just kind of happens? I mean, like,
I want to write all types of stuff, right? You know, I read this book, Chronicles by Bob Dylan. And I read it in college 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever it was. And Bob talked about his friend Bono. So Bob talks about archaic things a lot in the book, like archaic, like things being old, right? Bono from U2 talked about the future. Bono was always focused on the future. You know what I mean?
I just laugh because, you know, all the other Bonos that we know about, Bono from U2.
Right. But like, I'm the guy that's both. I'm both a connoisseur of the past for taste purposes, but I'm also like always engaged in the future. So I'm always kind of like, I want to go forward. I want to add synths into my music and change, and I want to be different, and I want to challenge myself, and I want to be different in that way. But I also am around a lot of people that play traditional music. Mm-hmm. I just saw Nate Lowry, the Mud Pie Review, Nate and Dan Lowry and Jacob Baxter at Hammerstones, like right before I did this interview, and they do like a lot of Western swing and country and sometimes bluegrass, you know, and I love that. Right. And a lot of people that I hang out with now play Irish trad music, like lots of it. And I listen to it a lot because I'm around it all the time, but I'm also like in this place of like adding electronic things to my music. And can I, you know, I went from, I'm kind of in this, it's like ebbs and it flows. Like I basically started here like in a rock band, did acoustic music, started my own rock band, doing this again, adding other things. And now I'm kind of like, how do I take instruments away? I've been playing a lot of mandolin. I've been playing a lot of banjo. It's like, it's this whole kind of like circulation or evolution or change. Like, music's just music,
right?
You know, I could hear a song, I can hear an old Irish folk song and know what the words mean from 200 years ago, or I could listen to a song Billie Eilish put out less than 2 years ago and know what she's talking about, because it's all about the content and the quality of the experience that the song presents. Mm-hmm. When we walk in our day-to-day lives, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling it? How am I feeling it? Why am I feeling alive? Why am I feeling sad? Any good song, why am I feeling happy? Like, it's not only about being sad and a depressed artist, because I don't believe in that whole thing. I think that's all nonsense. But like, how do I relate to the world? And that's what this is about. You know, how do we relate to the world? So whether it's a modern pop song or a 200-year-old traditional English, Irish, English or Irish or Scottish or Welsh or whatever folk song, like somehow there's going to be something in it that's going to make you realize that you are human, because we're all on this path of humanity and existence.
Yeah, man. You do you find like learning mandolin and different some of the newer instruments, do you find yourself able to write differently on those? You're writing different songs?
Mandolin's fun. I'm really trying to pick melodies on the mandolin, bluegrass or trad melodies, which I'm very poor at, and I do not claim any talent in those areas for the record. but learning that, and I'm a big fan of Nickel Creek. I've been since I was in high school, actually. 2003 is when I became a fan of Nickel Creek. And I used to listen to them on camping trips. Well, go ahead.
I was going to see, did you get you cover REM yet with your mandolin?
I did. I think it's on my Facebook somewhere. I don't know. I think it's on my Instagram. But
I think you have to. That's like one of the only like rock mandolin songs. Like,
yeah. But I've been learning what I can do on the mandolin, but not sure how good I am.
Yeah. It's just fun to challenge yourself again, like you're saying, trying to just keep pushing yourself to evolve.
Yeah, there's an honesty in folk music, you know. Right. Music's just about getting to the core of things, you know. So
yeah, man.
How do you present the human existence in a way that's digestible and sometimes challenging to the listener on purpose? How do we face our own contradictions? How do we face the reality we're dealt, you know? How do we empathize with others? It's just the name of the game.
Yeah, man. Well, find Gavin M on your Facebook. I'm sure you can find some of those videos, some of the covers you've been doing, and which are always really a lot of fun to see your take on some of these songs. And of course, get plugged in on the socials and find more dates coming up for the summer and stuff. But grab tickets for that Blueberry Hill show. Let's sell that one out first. Hey, man, I've been going around asking some of these questions, Gavin, and having some fun with these. And so if you don't mind entertaining some of these silly questions. Yeah. So this one kind of got inspired by Dave Grohl telling a story about going to Paul McCartney's house and hanging out. And I was just like, thought that would be a really cool night. And like Taylor Swift was there and stuff. It just sounded like a cool party. But he said it got me thinking, like, what would be a dream dinner for you? If you could have, invite a couple, three, four people over for, you know, an evening or something, who would, you like to include in that?
Paul McCartney is in that for sure. I think Paul McCartney would be the one that I'd want there the most. Just because he's informed my songwriting, I think the most. I want to invite Bob Dylan, but I know, like, based on all the books I've read about him, I don't know if I would want Bob Dylan there. Like, I think I would be like, yeah, you write great songs, but I don't think that you would ever even be engaged in the conversation. So why would I let you fill my seat, type of thing?
Yeah.
Like, he would probably just be distant and then say some snarky comment that would make me deter to know him somehow. So I'm gonna say that, like, I would hope for Bob. But another person to include in that list, I think, it's really hard.
Yeah.
I bet I could think of them if I didn't have to think about it, but
all right.
Probably Bob Borkstead, my guitar teacher that passed away when he was 27, when I was in college. I think I was 20 or 21 and he passed away from pancreatitis.
Oh, wow.
And I do have all four. So let's just do it this way.
All right.
So Paul McCartney, maybe Bob Dylan, if he's going to be a suitable guest and he's in a good mood to, like, not be, he doesn't need to be extroverted. I don't need him to be somebody he's not, but I also don't need him to be snarky and, like, you know, whatever. So he'll probably just tell me to screw off. So he's whatever. Bob Borkstead, my guitar instructor from college that passed away at 27. And then I think the last one, would be my friend OB, who passed away when I was 22 and he was 21. And he was the bass player in my band, our band, Parlor Nights. And I think about him, I think, every day. And I see signs when he passed away, there was like this, his, we called him OB, Other Ben was his, was like what he went by. But when I went, the 2 days after he passed away, I was at work and I used to do photocopies for the government, and there were tags on the folders and it said OB5. And like there are times in my life when I'm having struggles that I'll kind of turn my head and see something that says OB or OB. And like, I'll see it on a bumper sticker, OB, or I'll see it on a window decal. And OB used to, he used to come over to my house and he used to teach me theory, music theory, out of the goodness of his heart. And I miss him and I love him. And he's, I pray to him. I don't know if anybody's into prayer. You don't need to be into prayer. I don't, I'm not telling you what to believe, but those are the four folks. So,
yeah.
So those are the people.
Yeah, man. Is that, is he, you guys did those, shows, memorial shows, right? Monk and stuff.
We used to do them for a while. Yeah.
But that was what Ben was part of that, right? That's like, that was why we were doing those.
Yeah. It was hard. It was hard. It's been hard for quite a while. And like more than, I think about my friends because my friends lost them, and I think about them quite a bit. And, yeah, it was hard, but you know, life happens, you know, I don't know. I hope time heals, you know, I know what all that's about. So,
yeah. I mean, that's, I think there's, a lot that, you know, it's difficult. It's, you know, it's like kind of like picking a scab sometimes. But also at the same time, I think it's good to talk about them all the time too, to keep their memory alive. And, you know, and so, you know, and yeah, I'm trying to do that with my mom. I did a big benefit for her before she passed. And then I want to keep that going. And then I was going to do something, you know, last year, but we couldn't really do anything. So hopefully this year we can bring that back around and kind of continue that show in her memory and stuff. So, and help some others out in need, dealing with cancer and stuff. So
I remember when I did the Songwriters in the Round thing at the Focal Point, your mom was there and you were there with her.
Yeah.
She was so nice. And I remember I launched my website. I think I told you this. I launched my website. And I started like a newsletter that never happened, by the way. And it was like the day of, and your mom had subscribed to my website. And I was like, oh, it's Shane's mom.
Yeah.
And then it was like funny, like after, you know, she had passed or whatever, I remember there being something on my website updating me saying that she had subscribed. I think I Instagram messaged you or something. I can't remember.
Right.
I think the universe kind of drops those little things to say, yeah. You know, I don't speak for your grief, but you know what I mean? You know?
Sure. Yeah. As you're talking about OB, like, I feel like that too. There's a lot of little things where you get those, you know, little moments where you feel like, they're there with you every day still. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, you, let's see what, the day comes, we have a Gavin M biopic. Who would you like to see cast to play you in the movie version?
Well, a younger Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
A much younger Russell Crowe. Who else? Man, I don't even know who I look like.
Yeah.
I don't even know who looks like me. Who would I want cast as me? A younger actor, I'm trying to figure, because I'm not really up on the things. Man, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think? I don't look at myself all the time.
Right. I don't know. Nothing's jumping out. You don't get it? Nobody tells you look like somebody? You don't get
Russell
that?
Crow. I got Russell Crowe most of my life.
But oh, yeah?
That's about it. Yeah, Russell Crowe most of my life, but that's about it. Nothing else, really.
You look like a 60-year-old man. Like, you know, just it's like, I don't know if Russell's actually 60, but he's a... seems like he's quite a bit older than we are.
Yeah.
But he, I think he could do it. I mean, with the powers of CGI now and stuff, I bet we could probably de-age him a little bit.
I mean, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, super handsome dude, but I don't think he looks like me.
You know? Right. You know? He, at least he can, you know, sing a little bit and stuff. And that'd be, I think that's also part, should be good part for the role. Somebody can sing a little bit and stuff too. And
yeah,
at least carry a tune to, for the performances. But yeah, I would, I love Jason or, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He, I don't know why he said Jason, but he's incredibly entertaining and I really enjoy his stuff.
Good actor.
Yeah. He was just on Fallon the other night and, he just makes you, feel like you want to be his friend. The kind of guy, like he just seems like a super genuine dude.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. What about a dream duet or collaboration? Some of those names we already mentioned, but is there somebody that you really like to work with?
Yeah, a lot of people. Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie. I'd probably work with, a number of artists. Let me just look through my Spotify really quick.
Yeah.
Let me just look at my liked stuff here. I'd work with Chris Martin from Coldplay, Johnny Marr from the Smiths. Obviously, Paul McCartney, Paul Simon.
Yeah.
John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh yeah.
His
solo record's really good too. I would love that.
I want to work with John Mayer, but I don't know if I want to work with John Mayer.
Yeah.
John Frusciante's solo records are great. Noel Gallagher from Oasis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just Noel?
I mean, I'd write for Liam if he wants to sing my songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All You're Dreaming Of, that fucking song's beautiful. And that wasn't written by his brother. That's like a top love song. Like that's a tune. Like that's a tune, you know. But yeah, right. I mean, Noel's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. That could be cool, man. Let's see. I do believe if we just put it out there, we'll see what happens, you know, kind of thing. Let the universe do its thing. And
I hope we'll
see if we can make some of those happen. What about a song that always gets stuck in your head? Is there,
you know what? Lately there's one song that gets stuck in my head all the time. And it's, it's weird. I'm saying this because it's not like pop music. There's a artist called Martin Hayes and he is an Irish fiddler and he has a song called Brennan's Reel. And it always gets stuck in my head. I could be going to bed. I could be waking up, but Brennan's Reel, B-R-E-N-N-A-N apostrophe S Reel, Brennan's Reel. And it's like always in my head, always in my head.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's always in my head, but it's always in my head.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
That's a lot of why I ask, just because I think it's fun to like constantly learn it, you know, learning new music and stuff. So it's a good way for me to like that, like write a song I never heard before and go give it a listen. But yeah, man, what's something you tried but will never do again?
I don't know what context you're asking, but.
I mean, you got to do a lot of things, but is there like skydiving or anything like that? Like anything like that, maybe you did, but you're like, nope, I've done it once. That's all I need. I don't need to.
Something I've tried, but I will never do again.
Or a food item. Maybe if, on your adventures, is there a certain food that you tried? You're like, nope, don't need to do that again.
Try, but it will never do again. Something I've tried, but will never do again. I mean, I feel like there's like life lessons that I'll never deal with again.
Yeah.
like personal things, like, you know, tolerating, like bad relationships.
Sure.
But I mean, I don't know if there's anything I wouldn't, I mean, I don't, I wouldn't, I mean, man, I, yeah, I'd probably just say on the record, like not deal with, you know, bad relationships, toxic relationships.
Right.
That's about it. I know what foods I don't like, you know?
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah, I just signed it. I don't know. Sometimes it works. Sometimes they don't. Is there a movie or a TV show you wish you were in? Is there a certain world that you would like to be a part of?
Yeah. Man, Lost was a great show.
Yeah.
So
you'd like to be in that in there in the show?
Maybe not in the show. All right. I don't know if there's a, I'd like to be on the right side of the story in Handmaid's Tale, like
yeah.
The Canadian side or the American side of Handmaid's Tale. I really love that. And
right.
Justice for all the things that they're addressing in the show and all the awful things they're addressing in the show. Other than that, I mean, any space travel story, like Interstellar was really great. I don't know. I watched Grey's Anatomy embarrassingly. That's fun to watch.
I watch a lot of these. There are just terrible shows, but they're entertaining. You know, I watch like a lot of stuff with Stacey. Lately, we've been watching The Circle on Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever watched that, but it's...
I've never watched The Circle before.
It's garbage, but it's... I keep watching it. I don't know. It's... it's these people, like a group of like eight, or like in... It's I guess it's like a... They make it appear like it's a big like apartment building or hotel or whatever, and they all have their own little room, and they're all kind of isolated from each other. And it's like a social media experiment kind of thing where... And they can either go into the game playing as themselves or as a catfish. And so sometimes they choose to be, you know, a guy playing a female or whatever, you know, then, and then, so the trick is to build your popularity up inside the game and, you know, and then, you win the game. But if people don't like you, then you get kicked out and you lose. And so it's, I don't know, it's an interesting,
it definitely sounds interesting.
It's interesting for sure, but I don't know that it's not like a quality television by any means, but it's definitely one of my guilty pleasure kind of things. It's just a lot of drama, you know, there
always a little bit of drama.
Yeah. So, but yeah, if you ever really get bored, it's something to watch for sure.
I'll check it out. The Circle.
Yeah.
Recommended by Shane Pressley.
Right. Yeah. Make sure you write that down on there.
Got it.
Highly recommended by. well, yeah, man. Again, you can find all Gavin M music wherever you're getting your music. And well, what's next? Are you gonna? We're gonna keep doing the singles. Or are you thinking you're gonna try to put out a record in 21? What's next for Gavin?
Probably singles. So the next song is either going to be a song called Where Did Your Heart Go or Ooh-Wah. But yeah, that's about it. There's nothing really planned as of yet. Just keep pumping out the songs. I've got a bunch recorded. I've probably got 12 songs recorded, so mm-hmm. Just got to put them out.
Yeah. And are you looking, you know, you're doing this little 3-day run coming up, but are you looking to do a lot more of that again?
Yeah, we're hoping to do a little bit of Kansas City and some other places.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'd be fun, especially with that group of guys. If you can...
great fellas, very grateful.
Yeah, if you can get them in a van, I bet that'd be a fun trip getting to hang with those guys.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, come on out on May 20th to Blueberry Hill in the Duck Room. Come on, grab some dinner, Blueberry Hill, and stick around for the show and have a great time with Gavin M and Grace Basement. And it should be an incredible evening of but yeah, man, I appreciate you doing this, buddy.
I appreciate you giving me the time, Shane.
Yeah, it's a good catching up for sure. It's what's always fun about this show, getting to make time to hang with my buddies and stuff. So it's easy to get busy with, you know, real life and stuff. So it's nice to schedule these every now and then where we can actually just sit down and chat and have a good time.
For sure, man.
But yeah, man, I look forward to seeing what's next from you. And yeah, thank you, buddy. And I'll see you at the show Thursday.
See you, Shane.
See you, buddy. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.